Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Thanks for waiting, and welcome to the conference call for analysts and investors of MRV regarding the earnings of the third quarter 2020. Today with us are our CEOs, Rafael Menin and Eduardo Fischer, as well as our CFO and IR officer, Ricardo Paixão. We would like to let you know that all participants are going to be in listen-only mode during the company's presentation. Then we'll start the Q&A session when further instructions will be provided. Should any of you need any assistance during the conference call, please reach the operator by pressing star zero. Now we are going to turn the call to Mr. Rafael Menin, the company's CEO. Please, Mr. Menin, you may go on. Good morning, everyone. It is a pleasure once again to be with you in our MRV earnings release. Today, Fischer, myself, and I are in the same room and we are all wearing masks, so our voices can be a bit muffled. So let me talk a bit about the company, to talk a bit about the past, then we get to the present and the future of the company. We had a first cycle after the IPO of which was from 2007 to 2013, which was a cycle of exponential growth. We went from 30 to 160 cities, so it was no petty growth, very differently from other listed companies, and of being quite profitable despite all difficulties. We grew 100% a year, and MRV really trailed this first cycle quite successfully. And then there was another cycle, which was very important, from 13 to 18, when we deleveraged the company. We invested on people, processes, and IT infrastructure, and also on a very robust back office. With that, the company became very prepared and mature to operate in a huge geographic area with a huge volume, 40,000 apartments a year, which until then was a volume that no other player in Brazil had performed. But more important was the cycle that started in 2019. That was a cycle whose characteristic was an expansion of our product portfolio in the same geographic regions, important growth in our digital agenda, again, very robust agenda, and very different from what you know the industry is talking about. Our agenda comprises the entire cycle of relationship with our customers, which starts at the time of sale, then monitoring construction, turning the key, and more important than that is how we interact and will interact with our customers while they are already living in our units, which is the most valuable time and in which we are investing more and more in terms of money, efforts, and human resources to really change the housing experience of our clients. Also worth noting is, EHS, which is a subsidiary in another country with a much lower capital cost, that quarter on quarter has been gaining a higher relevance in our future strategy. And why are we so optimistic about our project? As I said, it started back in 2019, and it's gaining more and more momentum. We believe that Brazil and also the U.S., both countries, will have quite well-behaved interest rates for the next 2-3 years. And that transforms completely, especially in Brazil, which is a country that has lived with high interest rates. It transforms completely our market and opens avenues of opportunities. Lou, there is a company that depends on lower interest rates, and this is something that we're seeing today. Housing that meets the needs of the market. This is a company that's been quite successful. We see no competition, at least not in the close future. We are really in blue ocean here. HS is the same thing. We have the capacity of generating assets with good yield, with low interests. This ratio between interests and what we sell and what we get from the market makes us be in a very unique positioning in the American market, especially because it's a completely vertical company that brings with it the know-how that was acquired by MRV in the last 40 years. We want HS to get to 5,000 units in by 2025. And in MRV, we have for some time now an operation of 40,000 units. So certainly, HS will have a competitive edge in the cycle of growth that started again last year with the joining of MRV. In fact, we completed the operation in the first quarter this year, and HS will certainly benefit from this know-how of working at such large scale and such large geography as we have been doing. So this is what we see. Our MRV corporation group has a unique capacity of generating high-quality assets. We already operate in 170 cities in two different countries. Now I'm going to turn to Kaká, that is going to talk a bit more about our financial and operational indicators, and then we open for your questions. Thank you. Hi, everyone. It's a pleasure to talk to you about the results of MRV. In this third quarter, I would like to give you a few numbers in operations. We had a historical record of net sales, almost R$2 billion, with growth of 41% year-on-year and 8% compared to the second quarter 2020. This quarter was also marked by a recovery of launches. We got a total of 1.9 billion of launches, 14,000 units, 1% growth year-on-year, and double the number we achieved in the second quarter 2020. Also, the sales over supply reaching 21%, the best number since 2014. We also had a record transfer to credit to the banks, 13%, a growth of 5% compared to the second quarter and double last year. An evolution of 21% in units produced in the quarter compared to the second quarter 2013 with 9,500 units. As demand and sales are very high since the beginning of the year, the company started several work in the third quarter 2020, and we have other constructions to start in the fourth quarter. A bit about the financial highlights. We had the largest operating revenues of the company in our history, 1.76 billion, which is 12% higher the same period last year. Also, the highest cash generation the company recently, with more than 300 million in the quarter, making net debt to payout ratio to 3.3%, obviously positively impacting all our covenants. An increase in net income of 27% compared to 2020, and in line with the same period last year. Also, we raised R$500 million with 5-year time bullet, going back to our average term of debt for 24 months in a very comfortable position. Now I'm going to talk about the numbers of our subsidiaries. Luggo has an increase in land bank with 21,000 units. We also had 72 million launches and 22 million net sales in the period. Luggo, in the closing of between the second and third quarter, we had the third development sold that in only 5 months for us to reach 95% occupancy. And then We had the rental of our final development with 32% of our units leased. In HS, we had one project completed, now with seven projects, and we are for sale. And now I'm going to open for your questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll now start the Q&A session. If you have a question, please press star one. Our first question comes from Enrico Falotta from Itaú BBA. Please, Enrico, you may go on.
Hello, Rafa, Ricardo. Good morning. Thanks for your presentation. I have two questions. First, if you could give us a bit more color about cost pressures in the sector for us to understand the trend of gross margin. Your EBITDA margin is basically flat, so I would like to know what you see in terms of cost pressures for MRV. Also, the Minha Casa, Minha Vida program. Casa Amarela is a bit more difficult for us to passing on the pressure for costs. So if you could talk a bit about that, I know that you are a bit more outside the Minha Casa, Minha Vida, the Casa Verde Amarela can perhaps offset costs. The second question is a bit about the competitive scenario market share. You're saying about market share in Minha Casa, Minha Vida and Casa Verde Amarela. I would like to know where you're gaining share and also how you see the competitive scenario, more specifically in São Paulo, given there are lots of players talking about growing and being super excited about the market. So these are my questions. Thank you very much.
Enrico, this is Fischer. Good morning. Okay, so let's start with your first question. Cost pressures. What do we see today in the company? Well, indeed, the industry is very much active. And what is going on is a crisis of supply in some materials. And we saw two movements. First, because there was a material delay, which really did not impact our production. And then a certain pressure for an increase of prices that is happening again in some isolated materials. Of course, we are engaging our best efforts to gain productivity, efficiency internally. Several projects going on for us to offset somehow this. So I do not see, at least not in the short term, that we are going to have a negative impact that will cause us to have a problem to recover margins. Of course, that our scale helps and we have a better purchasing power. And so we are the last to suffer, the more adverse impact. So there is some pressure, but I do not think that this will lead us to lose margins for the coming years. And I think that, in the first quarter of next year, this pressure is kind of going to give way. So I think we're going back to the normal environment. As for gross margins, we talked a lot about that in the last two quarters. So what happened? Along the pandemic, we had a more robust sales effort. And with that, we had a low drop in sales, in margins, I'm sorry. And of course, this is something that is going to be seen in our balance sheet for some time. I do not see a major variation of margins in companies in the industry. It shouldn't happen. The regulatory agencies should not allow for that. But anyway, we see the margins that are a consequence of a more aggressive sales effort during the pandemic. And that should be seen for another perhaps two quarters, still inside 2021. And as of then, you will see margins going up probably as of the second half of next year. And I don't see it going further down. This is basically what you're going to see in terms of margins. As for the competitive scenario and gain of market share, what we saw is that indeed in the second quarter, in the very middle of the pandemic, several competitors, especially the smallest,
held a bit their positioning and left the market, took a halt, and we did gain market share. We want to keep it. The scenario is changing. The small, mid-sized competitors that had taken a break are coming back, but in a tougher scenario because we did occupy some of these spaces and they will have to compete with us back. So we do see a bit more of a competitive scenario compared to 3-4 months ago, particularly in some markets. The inland state of São Paulo is a bit more competitive market traditionally. So we see it happen. But again, when you think of supply and demand, well, we continue at levels that were reached during the pandemic. So our challenge today is for our launches to keep at a high pace. The fourth quarter should be a strong quarter of launches for us to keep the market share that we were able to accomplish. This is our strategy. I hope I have answered all your questions. Yes, it's perfect, Fischer. Thank you very much. Have a good day. Our next question comes from Gustavo Cantaúva from BTG Pactual. You may go on.
Hello, everyone. Good morning. I have a few questions as well. First, with regard to your gross margin, if you could elaborate what kind of margin you have by segment. So you have SPPE, you have Lugo, and also growth outside Minha Casa Minha Vida, if you think this is something that is going to pull margin up, or if the margin for your products is similar to what you have in Minha Casa Minha Vida. And the second question is about your land bank. Well, you do voice, expectation of 8,000 units, half, in one side, half the other. But in terms of land bank, you have about two-thirds in Minha Casa Minha Vida, one-third outside. So I would like to know if you're seeking for new land for these products outside Minha Casa Minha Vida. If you are finding a bit harder to buy land or not, and what capital you would have to invest to bring land banks to a 50-50, which is your target in terms of launch. Thank you very much. Hi, Gustavo. Good morning. Well, let's start. Gross margin. Well, the gross margin in the economy, economical segment is about 30%, although we are reporting a slightly lower margins. Historically, this is what we had, 32%, about this magnitude. We expect to recover this margin in the economical segment as of the second half of next year. And I think that at some point, we are going to get from 22 to this level that we believe is quite suitable. As for the segment that we call low mid, that is one a tier above Minha Casa Minha Vida, the margin is slightly higher, given that we do not have price limits. So we have a bit more competitiveness amongst banks. Private banks work at the segment, even with the transfer of clients during construction, which is very important. So we believe that these developments can have margins slightly above Minha Casa Minha Vida. Then in the Lugo segment, gross margin is lower. But on the other hand, we do not have sales expenses. So the returns are very similar to what we have with Minha Casa Minha Vida. And then this is an area that we have a higher gross margin, but the trade-off is that we have longer cycles. HS, again, gross margin very similar to Minha Casa Minha Vida. You're thinking of selling units with a gross margin of approximately 29%. And again, sales expenses are lower. So I would say the return that we have on HS in our portfolio, HS
is a company that is going to bring the highest contribution margin, the highest return on investment. Land bank, for us to get to the 80,000. What happened in the last 4 or 5 years is that we bought about 80,000 units a year, basically Minha Casa Minha Vida, and we launched about 40,000. So the land bank is quite robust. Today we have a land bank perhaps a bit above optimum in Minha Casa Minha Vida. But on the other hand, we have a slightly lower land bank in the other segments. So the dynamics from now on is going to be to buy a little less of compared to what is going to be launched in Minha Casa Minha Vida, and to buy a bit more than we'll launch in the other segments. So in terms of total capital allocation, I don't think we are going to see any important change compared to the last 3 years, because we are going to allocate less capital in the economical segment and a bit more capital in the other segments. As for competition, indeed, we have some cities, São Paulo being the main one. The metropolitan region of São Paulo is the region with the most competition. Elsewhere in Brazil, low competition in terms of land. The companies that were recently listed, all of them except for one, are focused on the metropolitan region of São Paulo. So we don't see the competition going up elsewhere, even in the Lugo segment and this new line that we are expanding. We chose 30 Brazilian cities to work in these two segments, and the competition in most cities is quite low. So I believe we are quite well positioned to serve this new wave of Brazil. Thank you very much. Have a good day, everyone. Regards, Gustavo. Our next question comes from Nicole from Bank of America. Nicole, you may go on.
Thank you. Good morning. Thanks for the call. I have two questions. First, going back to funding. You mentioned that you're going to pick up funding in the next quarters. So I would like to know for the fourth quarter and next year, how much you're planning to launch in the programs. And my second question is about HS. I know that you already expanding to other states. You are in Georgia and Texas. I would like to know what is the stage of this project, and if you have plans to expand to other states, and which ones. Thank you.
Hi, Nicole. This is Ricardo speaking. Well, first, with regard to launches next year, what we see. Launches outside Minha Casa Minha Vida are going to gain momentum. So we expect approximately 25% of launches outside Casa Verde Amarela, 75% inside, again, using the workers' compensation fund. And then several other lines, the new brand, Lomid, Lugo, NHS, all the other lines except for the ones that operate with the workers' compensation fund. HS, what we see is that we are in South Florida, which is an excellent market. We are expanding now to Dallas, Texas, and also to Georgia. So I would say in the next 2-3 years, we are going to be focusing on these markets, probably gain a bit musculature in the cities that we are going in. And then we might go on to other 2-3 states, but a bit further on the line.
Okay, thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Igor Altero from Santander. You may go on.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for your presentation. Also, two questions on my side. First, to talk about sales.
your sales continue to be quite strong, hitting records in the third quarter. So I would like to know what you see in terms of trend for the fourth quarter. And then if you could talk about the different performance or the performance in the different regions, if you could break down your performance, especially outside the São Paulo market. Second, I would like to know the evolution of your Pro Soluto portfolio. We know that unemployment is a threat for the coming months. So I would like to know how you see this portfolio in the future.
Hello, this is Fischer once again. Okay, sales. Well, so I mentioned in the previous question, what we see today is that the strong demand, the stronger demand that came up during the pandemic is here to stay. So we see a number of leads at a very high level, so the trend has not changed. There is a special challenge of ours, which is to supply the company with enough inventory to capture this demand. Perhaps this is our greatest challenge. All the tools that we created in technology to capture clients faster, to have a much more fluid, faster sales, has been working well. We did it well in the third quarter, and we want to launch even more in the fourth quarter. So to beat the challenge, the demand continues to be quite strong. So I do not see why we should lower our pace of sales because, again, high demand and more supply. Pro Soluto. Well, this is something that we are always talking about. We have engaged all efforts, including technological efforts for that. When our client comes in, we analyze all the ratings with artificial intelligence to grant credit as responsibly as possible. So we see the behavior of our Pro Soluto getting better, and we have really engaged all efforts for such. And another thing that is important, this diversification of product, income, funding is also going to be very important in this aspect. You get client with a better income, with a more special funding, it leads to better behavior. We grant less Pro Soluto, and we have less delinquency. So a long time as our strategy to diversify our portfolio starts to gain momentum, and Kaká talked about what we expect to launch for next year, that is going to be a positive effect on our balance sheet. So just to mention the two variables I mentioned, there's lots of work to do, but we think that the management of this portfolio is going to be quite positive. So those two pillars are going to take us to a better place in the future. Okay?
Perfect. Thank you.
Just as a reminder, if you have a question, just press star one.
Our next question comes from Jorel Guilloty from Morgan Stanley.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for your call. I also have two questions. The first is your cash position. I would like to know your likelihood of paying higher dividends vis-à-vis US results, or if you're going to keep cash for HS or other initiatives. And the second question, I would like you to talk about, again, the different regions. We know that São Paulo is a strong market today. Is there any other region that you see a strong demand? So could you give us a bit color on that? Thank you. Okay, your audio was chopping a bit, but I think the first question was about the payout of dividends. Okay, well, the company is well known for being an excellent dividend payer. We always try to pay out 50% dividends. 50% dividend payout compared to the net income of the previous year. Last year, we had a payout of 75%. This year, we expected to pay out 50%, but because of the pandemic, we discussed it in the board and we decided to pay the minimum mandatory dividend. But in view of what's going on, the strong cash generation, although we do have some uncertainty for the future, we should go for a payout of 50%. I do not want to commit that we are going to, especially for the fourth quarter this year, but probably for the first quarter next year, I think we can go back for, the payout of additional dividends. As for the capital to be allocated in HS, well, we continue with the initial plan that was approved, $70 million to invest in the beginning of next year. HS, I don't know if you were in the call, but we have expectations of having less, in HS assets in the short term. So we're probably going to have a sales stretch for next year. So with sales and the allocation of capital that we agreed from start, we are going to continue with the plans of growing with HS. And this is Rafael. Good morning. As for your second question, with regard to sales activities, what we see is that, sales are really picking up. We do not have any market that is really outperforming or underperforming specifically. In Minha Casa, Minha Vida, we see very good performance, demand continues high. Again, there is not that one special city that will, outperform or underperform all the others. Performance quite well balanced and strong everywhere.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Thais Alonso from Citibank.
Good morning. Congratulations for your results. I would like to ask about Urba. What are your prospects for the future, and what is the potential size it has in the future? And the second question is about the new brand to be launched. Could you talk a bit about this new product? What is it going to be like? Is it focused on the workers' compensation fund segment? Hi, Thais. This is Ricardo once again. Start with Urba. What we did, in fact, is that we grew Urba's land bank in the last quarter, already targeting our growth plan. This is quite aggressive growth plan. We expect to launch next year from 3,000 to 4,000 units, and we see the potential of this business as very high. So within our internal business plan, this is not guidance, it's just our business plan, we estimate to get to 15,000 lots per year in the next 5 years. So this increase in land bank, meets our expectations to increase launches for next year and for the coming years, but we want to stabilize at 15,000 in 5 years. And some of urban projects are already close to the launch, so they are things that are under design. They are much closer to launch, which is important for us to meet our short-term growth plan. Long-term plan, mixes more advanced projects with land to be acquired to change what kind of usage they can have.
and this is Fisher to talk about the new brand, which is to be launched soon. We believe there is a vacant space at an income level that we started to operate when we went one notch up Minha Casa, Minha Vida. I'm talking about property from 450,000 to 500,000 in the São Paulo market, for example. With this new interest rate demand, this is a huge market with strong repressed demand because of years of high interest rates, and that might have a huge potential. So we are working on that. We are exploring this market, try to understand it better. Since we started with the initiatives outside Minha Casa, Minha Vida, we understood we had the capacity of creating an industrial park, which is important. Operationally speaking, we are going to take all MRV know-how in production scale to a higher income range. And we believe that will complement very well our platform as a whole. We had a breakdown of that in our release. With that, we are going to get most income ranges in Brazil with MRV, from two minimum wage to 11 minimum age. MRV has some kind of product for them. And we are going to do that with an industrial basis. So we are not going, to do it unprofessionalized as it is. And we are going to work with specific cities. We listed some cities in which we can work this product, and we decided to create a specific brand for that, which is going to be something soon. And we are going, to continue with our strategy to expand our platform. So that's the idea. We are very much encouraged. What we developed inside shows that it's quite interesting business, including in terms of margins, and it's probably going to be a line that is going to grow in the coming years. Thank you. As a reminder, if you have a question, just press star one. Our next question comes from Jonathan Koutras from J.P. Morgan. Hello, everyone. Congratulations on your results. I have two questions. One about ROIC, if you think that you're going to recover the numbers in the past in the first quarter of next year, in line with what you said in terms of gross margin. And then I would to know what's going on in your portfolio for next quarter. Thank you very much. Hi, Jonathan. This is Rafael speaking. Okay, first, ROIC. We see a recovery of ROI because of our growth. Minha Casa, Minha Vida performing well. So we are going to have growth, dilution of expenses that is going to have an impact on our ROI. The second stage of growth is going to come from the recovery of our gross margin. As I mentioned in the beginning of the call, this is probably going to get better as of the third quarter 2021. And our target is to get close to 32%, which is our historical average gross margin. So by getting to 32% and further diluting expenses, certainly ROI is going to go back to what it was 2 or 3 years ago and even expand further. I'm going to turn to Ricardo Paixão to answer your question in terms of provisions. Well, Jonathan, provisioning, as you know, when the pandemic started, we were quite conservative and increased our provisioning because we didn't know what was going to happen, in the future. What we see is that delinquency is lower than what we had expected. And then, there are some uncertainties in the macroeconomic scenario.
we don't know what the economic activity is going to be like next year. Everybody expects it to be better than this year, of course, but we don't know how it will behave. So we are having a higher provisioning, being conservative until we know what the macroeconomic scenario is going to be like. Okay, thank you very much. We are now closing our Q&A session. For their final remarks, I'm going to turn the call to Mr. Eduardo Fischer. Please, Mr. Fischer, you may go on.
Well, thank you very much. I would just like to highlight two points that I think are quite important in our strategy. Rafael, in his opening, talked about investment in technology and what MRV did in past years in terms of robust investments, not only financially, but also in terms of headcount. I would like to say that this is a very relevant point in our strategy. In the past 5 years, we have been investing a lot year on year on digital processes. And quite often, what shows is the customer digital journey, which is important to us and it's very strategic, but it encompasses the whole company process. It starts with the acquisition of land banks. We have active prospecting of the market, defining and screening the most important lands and to providing the information to our real estate prospectors. It goes through sales, concession of credit, portfolio, everything performed automatically and increasingly precise. And it gets to construction. We want to provide disclosure of this in our release. We have an innovation center in Belo Horizonte in partnership with SENAI. Since last year, we have tests and important investments in construction technology. We are about to complete our first development in Campinas with a new production construction process. We are quite optimistic with regard to productivity gains and financial gains as well. It's already being in a rollout phase to the whole of the platform. So the development in Campinas already has interesting replicability. We are going to adopt that in 30 other developments in Brazil, an investment that started 3 years ago. And it might be EMRV's new construction process in very while. It has to do with the investments in the supply chain that today works with predefined distribution routes, huge potential, everything developed in MRC innovation areas. And it goes to the front end to provide services in the post-construction time, raising problem statistics, knowing exactly who is going to provide services to whom to be as efficient as possible. Again, all that built in the last 3 years with heavy investments in technology. I know the market very well, and we are certainly the company that most invests and is more avant-garde in different areas of technological innovation. And an excellent example of that is Lugo. Lugo grew inside MRV as a startup and is becoming a business that will add great value to the company. So MRV, if you think of all the operational spectrum, is the company that most invests, that is in the avant-garde of innovation in civil construction, not only in Brazil, but everywhere. So we are very proud of that. And another point that I'm frequently asked, especially in the coming months, is our role in ESG that has gained importance, especially in times of pandemic. We are an active part of the society in which we operate. For more than 30 years, it has been so. We have robust investments. We have an institute that already worked with more than 30,000 illiterate adults.
We are making investments to help the communities in which we are inserted during the pandemic, the whole company groups. We are signatories of the Global Compact. We are the only company in the IFE, which is the Stock Market Sustainability Index. This is part of our target. We are truly engaged company, and we have been so for a long time. In a time that everybody's talking about that, we are a company of reference, not only in Brazil, but elsewhere. These are the two things that I would like to talk. They are important pillars of our long-term strategy, a company that is focused on the future. These two aspects that I mentioned are very important for our long-term strategy. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure to have here and meet you again next quarter. Thank you. MRV conference call is now closed. We thank you very much for joining and wish you a good day.